This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, October 7th, 2018. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. I'm live in studio waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about your health. Perhaps you've had a problem, you've done everything you can think of, you've tried, you've applied all kinds of things and didn't work. Well, here's an opportunity. Call me. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You know, how we approach the subject is we look at your body's capacity to be able to reverse anything and turn things around, because, you know, you are the captain of the ship. You know, the process of knowing what's going on is better than just putting the fire out, meaning you have a symptom, take this drug and call me next week, next year, whatever it is. Let's watch it. I don't know what we're watching, but let's be proactive. Your body is an amazing machine, and it gives off signals. And if you know how to identify those signals and where they're coming from, then you can virtually reverse anything. I have an interesting topic that I'm going to cover for you today. And on, the good news, the bad news is, the good news is that this Wednesday evening, the 10th of October, this Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Dareth Painter, a registered thermographer, is going to be presenting an evening on thermography applications, mammogram alternatives, and beyond. So let's talk about, you know, this very interesting field of thermographic imaging. What is thermography and the like? And it's, you know, thermography has been around forever. And years and years and years ago, you know, multiple decades ago, it was used in military uses. It was used to identify breaks and cracks in industrial structures. Then they realized that it can pick up heat detection, and that heat detection is very important in the subject that we're going to talk about today, because we're going to talk about its application in breast examination and vascular examination and some other things that is very sensitive in how it can identify certain conditions within the body. And what I want you to understand is that this is significant. It's modern, it's cutting edge, and you're not being given the entire truth. My job is to give you the truth so you can wage, so you can decide what you want to do. And the Rozelle Center for Healing is going to, you know, put that in position. Now, the bad news is, unfortunately, Dareth Painter was supposed to be in studio with me today and is unable to do that. So I am going to carry this. But this Wednesday evening, you get to meet her and you get to talk to her. And she's one of the best. Her background is significant. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But she's been at this business now for years and is one of the best diagnostic, or she's not a diagnostician. She is a thermographer. She takes the pictures and she works with a group of medical physicians. So that's all they do is read these things. And when you add thermographic imaging to other forms of diagnoses, now you have something that is almost unshakable relative to its ability to diagnose anything that has heat or a blood supply. And that's the key here. What thermography does, and by the way, why are we doing this today? This is October, right? This is October the 7th. We're doing it because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we have always taken the lead in making sure that you are stepping up to the plate, that you do everything that you possibly can to protect yourself, not only from, you know, colds and flus and migraines and backaches and, you know, degenerative diseases, but also that crazy big C, that cancer. And in this situation, this is something that you can apply and make part of your ongoing routine process. So let's talk about thermography just a little bit, and from, you know, what it really consists of, what the background is and so forth. And as I said, this has been around forever. Thermographic imaging picks up heat signals. Now, I'll give you a couple of incidences, and we'll get into that a little bit more, why that's so important. If you have a tumor of any sort, that tumor, that cyst, a polyp in the colon, has to have a blood supply. And what the thermographic image does is it picks up the building of that blood supply to the tumor well in advance of the tumor even showing up. So there are studies out there that say that the blood supply in most tumor situations will show up 5 to 8 years prior to the actual portrayal, the identification of that tumor. Isn't that cool? So if you can find a way to identify that, now you can do something proactively well in advance. You don't have to go through or submit yourself to all the radical intervention that is going to be suggested. There may be other things that you can do actively, and you can choose at that point what's going on. But, you know, so many of you, you know, are out there, women and men, by the way, and we're going to talk about those statistics in a little bit. So many of you, you know, are told, oh my God, you have a tumor, you're going to have to do something about it, and we're going to do radiation, we're going to do chemotherapeutics, you know, we're going to do surgery, we're going to do, and the list goes on. And you know what the outcome is. In some situations, it saves lives, but what if you could be proactive before you ever got to that place? What if you could identify something that is not right well in advance, that you didn't have to get to the place where you had to have tissues removed and breast tissues amputated and so forth? I would think that that was the way that you needed to look at. Now, my wife, many of you know Sue, this is the only thing that she does, and because she knows the statistics and she knows the data behind it. So having said that, you know, that we have an issue, are there risks, are there benefits? We're going to talk about those things, and we're going to talk about what happens, you know, with the process of thermographic imaging, which is really, really critical that you understand and you become proactive. But again, this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing, Dareth Painter, registered thermographer, is going to walk you through it piece by piece by piece. And she's going to tell you all the applications, all the uses of thermographic imaging. Many of your high-level athletes are using thermographic imaging to determine inflammatory reactions and so forth. You know, years ago, we've done ageless health seminars now all over the place for many years. And Dr. Stephanie Pina and Dareth got together and did a presentation one time where they took a knee that was highly inflamed, and Dareth took a thermographic image of it. And then Dr. Pina began to use acupuncture, and then they photographed it every few minutes, and what they saw was a dramatic shift and change in the inflammatory level, the heat, and also obviously the symptom process was much, much calmer after the intervention. But here was something where we could identify, here's the thermographic imaging, and we got this hot, irritated area. Now, 20 minutes later, half hour later, the thermogram looks completely different, and obviously the pain, the presentation was very significantly reduced, almost to the point of resolution. So if you have, and let's shift a little bit, we're going to talk about a couple other uses of thermographic imaging. If you have vascular impairment, the carotid arteries, the thermograph can see it as being very hot, and it can compare it one side to the other. If you have vascular problems in your legs or your arms, the thermograph can pick up the differences. So what we're talking about is you're talking about blood supply. You're talking about blood supply that's not normal. You're talking about inflammatory levels, heat, hot, that shouldn't be there. The thermography can pick that up. So you have areas that it feels hot to you, you know, many times say, hey, this doesn't feel right to me. And your doctor says, well, it's normal. Well, thermography will show that situation. So let's do the balancing act here a little bit. Let's talk about mammography. Everybody's going to tell you, well, you know, thermography saves lives, and, you know, that you have to have it on a regular basis. And years ago, every woman should have one every year. And, you know, then all of a sudden, the United States Preventive Services Task Force, the USPSTF is for the abbreviation, recommended suddenly that only women aged 50 to 74 years should undergo a mammographic screen or a mammography screening every 2 years. So how did they shift, and why did they shift from everybody should have it all the time, and they should have a baseline and then continue after that, to, well, only women between 50 and 74 years should have it, and only every 2 years? Well, the problem was that there was a tremendous amount of risk factors that are associated, and one is radiation. So if you have radiation exposure to a very delicate soft tissue, and think about it, ladies, you've gone through this. You know, if you've had a mammogram, you go in and they take your very gentle, soft breast tissue and they put it between two plates, and then they put a tremendous amount of weight on it. It's 45 pounds, by the way. And then they radiate it. So if you radiate soft, exposed tissue, there's going to be damage over a period of time. And so you have the pros and cons. We're going to talk about the risk factors and so forth. So, you know, when you look at this, you have to be very aware of the associated risks with mammography and mammograms. You know, they require repeated exposure by radiation. So we know that radiation can cause cancer. So I'll leave that up to you to do your homework. You know, and if it's accumulated and used over a lifetime, it's a problem. They can lead to non-invasive cancers, you know, being diagnosed and treated when treatment is not warranted, is not necessary. So you go through all this stuff, and usually it's chemotherapeutics. If you go to an oncologist, they want to do chemo. If you go to a radiologist, they're going to want to do radiation. And, you know, it depends, like the carpenter. If he's got a hammer in his hand and a nail, everything looks like he needs to hit it with it, right? There, you know, so mammograms are not as effective for women with very dense breast tissue, or if you have breast implants of any kind. So that rules that out. So they can lead to women choosing, you know, to have double mastectomies out of fear. You know, I just take them out. I'm going to get rid of them. I don't need them anymore. That's a fear pattern. You know, they have a high rate of false positive results, and can result in unnecessary biopsies and additional screenings, and forget about the money that's behind all of that. But false positive results are those that suggest that cancer is present when actually it's not. You're going back to 2009. We're going to roll the clock back about 9 years ago. This group that we just talked about, the USPSTF, came up with some interesting indicators, right? So, you know, they said that, you know, they revised their position. This goes back some years before that women should have, you know, a mammogram done all the time. And they indicated why. They said that they showed an increased risk of false positive results because of, you know, these things done. And they, you know, they ruled out, said, well, we don't have to start girls at a very, very young age, not necessary. But the American College of Radiology and the Society of Breast Imaging both continue to recommend annual mammograms for women starting at age 40. So think about it. The American College of Radiology, I don't know. I'll leave that up to you. The current guidelines issued by the American Cancer Society advise that mammograms, you know, a mammogram every year for women between 45 and 54 years of age, and every 2 years for women 55 years and older. So there's a lot of back and forth indicators on when to use mammography and when not to use mammography. I'll leave you with this thought. Mammography has side effects. Mammography is not 100% accurate. It has a tremendous amount of false positive, false negatives. If you get an oncologist and talk to them on the sidebar and say, what do you really think? I think you're going to be surprised what they're going to tell you, that it's probably not the thing that you need to do as a go-to on an ongoing basis. But we're going to give you some more data. We're going to get into very specifically as we go through the program. We're going to talk about thermography centers and what they do. Don't go away. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I'm in studio. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're talking about thermographic imaging and its applications to breast cancer and vascular problems within the body, particularly in the head and neck, which are very easily seen. Also in the legs, by the way. You know, we said before the break that, you know, this is not only a female problem when it comes to the identification of breast cancer. Guys, unfortunately, because of our environments, we're seeing more and more men with breast cancer. And the percentages, the statistics are all over the place. It depends on who you're reading and what their angle is on it. But, you know, you'll see some authors say 3% plus, you know, all cancers today are male. And, you know, there are some say, well, you're down to about 1% of all of them. Well, and then there's statistics that says one out of every 800 men will develop breast cancer at some point in their life. But the bottom line is that because of our environmental pollutions and estrogenics, and the increased rate of prostate cancer as well, that thermographic imaging can give clues based on blood supply. And remember, what we're talking about is the identification of heat markers. And those heat markers have to do with blood supply and inflammatory reactions within the body. So when you see inflammation, remember I've always said inflammation means acid. Acid means inflammation. It's really good to know where that stuff is, and it's identified. You know, somebody has a major headache. You get somebody with a migraine, you take a thermography of their neck, their face, and their head, and you're going to see all kinds of things. Let's talk about the head for a while. You know, you have somebody who presents with a bad TMJ, temporomandibular joint, or they have a Bell's palsy, or they have the old condition, tic de la rue, but very painful, highly vascularized problems, or where the nerve is on fire. You can pick this up very quickly, very specifically with thermographic imaging. And in some cases, if you have, you know, sinus problems where the sinuses are just really locked up, if you want to know if it's primarily sinus, you can take a look at that. Often it will pick up the beginning stages of polyps. And this is straight, you know, when you look up thermography and polyp formations, it'll show the blood supply, remember, to those areas. So the range of application is huge. A patient comes in with pain, whether it's a shoulder pain or ankle pain or whether it's neck pain, and you take a thermographic image of it, you can show that. But, you know, the cool thing is that thermography is an adjunctive diagnostic mode that, in combined with ultrasounds and MRIs and other forms of diagnosis, can give you a tremendous amount of immediate right now data without increasing your risk through radiation exposure through mammography. Remember, mammographic imaging, women that you've had them before, they take that soft tissue, that breast tissue, they crush it with about 45 pounds of weight, and then they radiate it. And because of that, you increase your risk of damage to that sensitive breast tissue. But in addition, you know, you increase your risk of cancer because of the accumulation of radiation over a lifetime. So, you know, there's about many of the mammographic sites will tell you the risk of cancer in women is about 1 in 8 over a period of a lifetime. And they're talking a lifespan of 80 years plus. So that's about 12% of all women out there. But ladies, guess what? If you could catch this early and before it even became a tumor or became a ductal cyst or an invasive carcinoma of any sort, what edge would that give you? Well, this is an opportunity this Wednesday evening, the 10th, at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax to listen to one of the best thermographers around. Dareth has been at this since 2008, and she has a tremendous, tremendous background when it comes to diagnostics. And she works with a group of very astute medical physicians. That's all they do is they read these thermograms. So she takes them, she sends them out. These guys read them, and they come back very, very quickly. And the digital images will indicate to them whether other diagnostics need to be done. In some cases, they're going to say, listen, you know, you need to send out for a mammogram. But that's the last thing that they want to push towards when other things like MRIs and ultrasounds and combined with a thermography scan can be extremely, extremely impactful. So I would encourage you this Wednesday evening, the 10th of the month at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Join us. Go online at rozellecare.com. Check it out. And go to Thermography Centers of Fairfax and check out that website that Dareth is the the head of, and she can, you know, answer your questions. You can also send her a note. Just go to Roselle Center for Healing and send her a note, or just show up this Wednesday night, or go to, you know, Thermography Centers of Fairfax. You can get a hold of her either way. This is, an incredibly brilliant woman who has tremendous amount of information and can tell you the differences. But what better than to join her this Wednesday evening and find out exactly what you need to know about this amazing application and diagnostics. And there's a lot of, you know, back and forth, and we can talk about that as well. We're coming up to a break. We're here at 888-630-9625. There's a couple of you online. I will take your calls when we come right back. This is Dr. Tom Roselle.
Dr. Tom Roselle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live. I'm in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You know, this back and forth from Sunday to Saturday, Saturday to Sunday during Redskins season is making me crazy. I'm not sure I know where I am these days, but nevertheless, today we're here. So all you have to do to keep track of when the program is for the rest of, you know, this fall is that if the Redskins are in town, if they're playing at 1 o'clock, then I'm on Saturday at 4. So if they're playing like tomorrow night, that's why I get to be here today, because tomorrow night they have the Monday night game. And if they're playing on a Thursday night, I'm here on, if they're playing the 4:30 game, I'm here. So just keep track. Keep trying to remind you what's happening and so forth. I know it becomes confusing, and I do apologize to you for that. 888-630-9625. This Wednesday evening at the Roselle Center for Healing, we have a very special program for you, and it's all about thermographic applications, thermography imaging, thermography applications, mammograms, alternatives, and beyond. Wouldn't you like to know something that might be a choice instead of having to have your breast tissue compressed with 45 pounds of weight and then radiated, and particularly when the efficacy, the false positive, false negatives are all over the place, and do something that might be a little bit more significant? Remember, if you have any kind of breast implants, if you have very dense breasts, if you have cystic breasts, mammography is not necessarily the option you want to initially consider. And when you have thermographic imaging that can pick up heat signals anywhere from 5 to 8 years prior to the development of the tumor, it gives you the opportunity early on with other forms of imaging and follow through examinations to do something proactively before you have to submit to surgery, cutting, before you have to submit to chemotherapeutics, poison, and before you have to submit to radiation, which is cancer provocative. I would think that you would want to explore this. So this Wednesday evening, please do that. Call the Roselle Center for Healing. And all you have to do to go to RoselleCare.com, R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, RoselleCare.com. You can register right there online. You'll see a thermographic imaging, and you click that, and it'll take you to the registration site, or simply call 703-698-7117. Before we get further into the program, let's go to the phone. Sue, thank you for being patient. How can I help you?
Good afternoon. Thank you. I wanted to know your opinion. What is the value of a cystoscopy in an 87-year-old gentleman who has constant urinary problems for years? It's never been suggested previously, and he has a pacemaker and Coumadin. And also, what would they do about the results in that gentleman of that age?
Well, you know, a cystoscopy is very much the same as an endoscopy. You know, endoscopy is going to go down the mouth, and a cystoscopy obviously is going up the other way. And it's going to go through the urethra, and they're going to look at the bladder. That's the whole purpose of it. So they're going to go in, they can do a biopsy while they're in there. They can take a snip of the bladder. They can take a snip of the prostate, whatever. Just, they're going to rule out cancer is why they're going in. But at that age, and the fact that he's on blood thinners and so forth, it has its own significance. He's going to be very, very careful. But that's the only reason that they would do that. There's some other testing that can be done ahead of the game. They can do some ultrasound. They can even do an MRI. But it has to be weighed based on what other information that they may have that I don't have. But cystoscopy, you know, is of the urinary bladder, and, you know, they go right through the urethra, through the penis, and into the bladder, and it's, is it painful? Does it hurt? It can be painful, and, you know, it doesn't usually really hurt a lot. They usually do some things to tranquilize it, but with his background, they have to be careful. He has to make sure that he is communicative with them as they do it. You know, when you go through the procedure, it makes you feel like you have to urinate, and, you know, it's not a happy procedure, but again, you have to weigh it based on what it is that they suspect, and, you know, you always want to get a couple of combo opinions.
A local anesthetic, but I don't know anything much more about it.
Well, they do sometimes, you know, if they put you in the hospital, they're going to use general anesthesia, but that's rare, and that takes a little bit of a longer time, and, you know, they have to make sure that the bladder is fully empty, so they're going to they'll catheterize them first.
Do you feel it's worth it? Would you do it?
Well, it depends on the condition.
Okay. It's a 24-hour urine problem, but it's never been suggested before. And why at 87? I couldn't understand why they waited years to suggest it.
Well, what bothers me is the fact that the medications that you say that he's on, and it increases because there's going to be some bleeding. And, you know, the risk infections, you can have some infection, you can have some bleeding, you know, you can puncture the wall. Bladder cancer, depends on the type of cancer that it is, can move very, very rapidly in some situations. So, but there's other, you know, again, I'd have to have much more to tell you yes or no.
What bothers me is what would they do about it at 87? You know, people can die with PSA, with that cancer, and die with it, but not of it, die from something else.
Well, that's correct. And, you know, the thing that they're going to suggest, and I don't know this is true, I'm just going to give you some guidelines.
Right.
You know, they may tell you that, you know, if there's, let's say they go in and they find cancer throughout the bladder, the first thing they're going to want to do is to remove the bladder. Or if it's a localized situation, they may do radiation, cyberknife type of intervention.
Thank you very much. You've enlightened me because I didn't think it was necessary because of his age and so forth and the risks, and I didn't know all the risks.
No, there's a lot of them. Look them up. Anyway, thank you for calling, Sue. I appreciate it. Again, based on his history and what you've told me, you know, he's got increased risk simply because of the blood thinners that he's on. And it doesn't go without its side effects in somebody that of that age group. They've got to be very careful. So the question would be asked, why are you considering this to begin with? And is there another way? And what happens if we don't do it? And why do you think that this is, you know, the first line of intervention? 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. This Wednesday evening, Dareth Painter will be your host at the Results Center for Healing. And she's going to be talking about thermographic applications, thermography diagnostics, and everything that they can be applied to. I think you're going to find it extremely fascinating. Join her. Dareth is an amazing intellect. She has the capacity to look at things in ways that others kind of miss. You know, she comes from a tremendous background. Again, she's been at this thing 2008, and she's been in our world in healthcare since 2003. You know, she had a tremendously long career as a forensic psychologist, and then she went through some significant problems on her own. And ended up with us, lucky us. She's been a board certified thermographer by the American College of Clinical Thermography. And, you know, she has this intuitive sense. And many of you know her very well. She has an intuitive sense, that some people will never have. And, she presents, information going to make you think about it. If nothing more, join her. This month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month at the Results Center for Healing this Wednesday evening. Let's go to the phones. Alice, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm 64. My burning on the bottom of my feet especially hurts when I'm trying to sleep.
How long has it been going on?
I'm sorry?
How long have you been suffering from the burning?
A few months now.
Okay.
Maybe 4 or 5 months.
What's your blood sugars like?
My blood sugar is fine. Fasting blood sugar is like an 80 or something.
Do you know what your A1C is?
Yeah, it's below a problem. It's not Okay. Not bad at
okay.
all.
Have you had any problems with your back? Any injuries? Any back pain or leg
my
pain?
My back, I do have some degeneration in my back.
Okay. So the feet pain, ruling out any kind of blood sugar handling, can come from a lot of different things. The first thing that you look at is the neurological tracts from the low back. Those nerves go into your legs, they go into your feet. So at your belt line, you have the nerves that go down into your feet. So if those areas are compressed or irritated, then you can have this throbbing. Now, so when do you sleep on your back or do you sleep on your side?
I sleep on both, either my back or my side.
Do you feel it more when you're on your back or feel it more when you're on your side?
When I'm on my back.
Okay, so what's happening, there's the posterior gliding points of your spine are called facets. And so when you lie flat on your back, often those facets flatten, they pull, and they extend like telescope. And if they're irritated, if you have degenerative changes in there, or if they've thickened, it's called hypertrophy, then in that position, they can cause more irritation and reflexively cause pain all the way down into your legs. Your legs will feel sore or heavy. They can hurt. They can ache. But your feet can burn or be irritated. So that's the first place that I would look. The second place that I would look would be in the vascular beds. I would see if there's any kind of irritation, inflammation that is going into the legs and into the feet. Thermography, by the way, would show that up dramatically. So you would take a look at that. You would see if there's a blood supply problem with that.
Okay.
The next thing that you'd look at is you would look at the acupuncture system. The bottom of your feet house the beginning and ends of some significant channels. The liver's on the big toe. The kidney's on the bottom of the foot. You have the acupuncture channel for the what's called the bladder meridian, which, by the way, starts on your face and goes all the way down and ends on your little toe. So you have to rule out different systems. But where you'd start with to begin with is that you'd look at the spine, and if it's spinal, it can be treated. You would look at the blood supply and see if there's an inflammatory reaction coming from something. And again, once you have the answers of, you know, why is that, where is it coming from, you can treat it directly. So those are ruling out blood sugars. Those are the next more probable situations that you would have to look at. It'd be a great class for you to attend this Wednesday evening. You get a lot of data, and there'll be a few people around to be able to answer questions for you as well. Hopefully that's helpful. Alice, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. 888-630-9625. You know, the thing that we forget is that the low back controls everything from the organ systems within your abdominal area all the way down in the nerves and the muscles of your feet. And we have to be careful that we don't become monoptic, you know, that we don't look at just one area, that we expand our vision and look all the way through. That's the beauty of thermographic imaging, particularly if you have a full body thermography. It can show things that are going on and where they're coming from. And that's the clue. That's the most important key. So this Wednesday evening, Dareth Painter will present a very interesting subject on thermographic imaging, the alternatives, when they should be used with other traditional forms of diagnosis, which is really, really important. You know, we're not saying that this is the only way to go. It is an additional way of diagnostics. It's a complementary piece. It's not something that necessarily needs to, you know, be separated from. But when you have, the ability to have some sort of early detection, and I mean real early, when it's starting to form the blood supply that ultimately becomes significant, wouldn't it make sense to at least find something out about it, what the pros and cons are? This is not something that replaces mammography, although some women choose to do that. This is something that is used cooperatively. It's read by very educated and medical physicians, that that's all they do. So it's important that you do your homework on this stuff. And so why not start by listening to somebody who's had 10 years of experience in doing thermographic imaging and working with some of the best doctors that's around. But remember, anytime you do a mammogram, you know, there are side effects to mammograms. As we said earlier, you know, a mammogram shouldn't cause bruising or any long-term side effects, but sometimes they do. You know, like any x-ray, mammograms expose you to radiation. And it's the ongoing effect of accumulation of radiation. You have your your breast tissue or any other tissue radiated, and then, you know, you have some other area radiated, then you have some other area radiated, your body holds on to that radiation. You know, can mammograms spread cancer? Well, if you go to the National Cancer Institute, they'll tell you that, you know, that the compression, you know, the squeezing of the breast tissue while getting a mammogram cannot cause cancer to spread. My brain says this. If you break the ductal area where the cancer is hiding or sitting, and you smash that area and you smash any of the lymph nodes that are in there, and some of them are more sensitive than others. Now, this is just me running through my headspace and letting you know how I think. There may be some problems. I'll let you use the God-given brain and think through that. Mammograms, you know, require radiation. And, you know, they're telling you, well, you know, the benefits outweigh the damage, the harm. Maybe, do they? Again, this is something that you have to make a decision on. In some cases, you know, MRI is used, you know, in breast screening. Well, much safer, in my opinion, than using a mammogram. And then if you combine ultrasound and you combine thermographic imaging, your false negative rate goes down to virtually nil, and your false positive rate is significant if it's there, and then you can do follow-up at that point. You know, there was a doctor up in New York that started changing the way he did biopsies, and he did it in with breast hanging through a hole, and he would do a needle biopsy because he realized that in other ways that he could spread the cancer if he punctured the cancer tumor. So if you're smashing the breast, doesn't it make sense to you that that has the potential of doing something? Again, my thoughts, my opinion, it's the way I think, it's the way I run my brain. You know, we'll put that together a little bit more in a few minutes. We're coming up to a break. We're talking about thermographic imaging and the program that the Result Center of Healing is going to host this Wednesday evening, the 10th of the month, at 7 p.m. Give us a call and register. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're in studio on this Sunday, the 7th of October, and we 12 o'clock. And we'll be here at 12 o'clock as long as the Redskins aren't in town. And if you want to find out when we'll be not here, just find out when the Redskins play at 1 o'clock, and we will be there on Saturdays at 4 p.m. at Live, as always, giving you the most important information that we can possibly give you so you can be the master of your own ship. You know, Ageless Health. Health is a do-it-yourself program. That's why I wrote my book, so you can be the captain of your health ship. You can be proactive. You need to know. You need to find out what's going on in your body and take the steps that only you can decide upon. And that comes from education. That comes from an element of knowing and not just being told. You know, it's important today that we, you know, ask the question, why is that? And look at both sides of the puzzle. You know, look at those who are trying to get you to do one thing and look at the opposites of those who are telling you not to do those things. It's a balancing act, but you have the capacity to do it. And just don't go to Dr. Google. Really go into, if you're going to do Google search on things, go in and look at all of the information on both sides and realize that there are people that do have agendas, that they're trying to sell you something. And, you know, when the fox is in the hen house, you know, what I tell everybody, and when I lecture doctors throughout the country and around the world, I tell them, if you really want to understand the truth behind something that's being told to you, ask three questions. Who wrote it? What do they have to gain by it? And who wrote the check? When you get to the last part, when you find out where the money is going or how the money is or where the money is coming from, then you really get a very different insight. You know, it's like when we talk about aspirin therapy, you know, for years, everybody has to take baby aspirin, you know, as a preventative to prevent heart problems. Well, we know today that aspirin therapy, and we've been saying it on this program for years, is wrong. And it's contraindicated if you want to protect yourself, because aspirin actually increases your risk of heart attack and stroke. And the FDA in 2014 in August published an article that said, yep, no, it's wrong. And, you know, you don't do aspirin therapy. So why did they push it so hard? And why is there so much push way? Even today, you go into a physician's office. Well, here's the deal. Go to my website, you know, or actually go to my Facebook page. Go to Dr. Tom Rozell, and I just published something on aspirin, and you'll see why, you know, there's, as I said, the fox in the hen house, or the wolf in the hen house. Well, here's the deal. Bayer, one company, from their aspirin, Bayer aspirin, their bottom line every year is $1.28 billion a year. Yeah, I said billion from one product. Do you think that they may have a underlying motive to make you want to think that you have, you know, you need to take aspirin? In addition to that, when they came out in 2014 and said it doesn't work or actually increases your risk, you know, what did they do? The whole scenario shifted and said, well, there's certain types of cancers that if you take aspirin on a day-to-day basis, that it will be very helpful in preventing its onset. Except now you're still taking the aspirin and you're still increasing your risk of cardiovascular disease. Very interesting. So if you want to find something that you can do to be proactive, attend this program this Wednesday evening at the Rozell Center for Healing, 7 p.m. And I promise you an eye-opening experience. Dareth is incredible when it comes to her intuitiveness and insight in diagnostics with this. And again, she'll give you all the alternative applications of thermographic imaging, things that you hadn't even thought about. But remember, it's a, you know, blood supplies that are coming about, and you know, they need to be known about. We're coming up to the end of the program, and unfortunately, there's so much more that I could cover on this subject, but this Wednesday evening, she'll cover it for you. I'll see you next week. I love you all. Bye.